I have the freedom to kill you with my shoulder.
This is the news, according to me. Yes, Joe Biden. We're going to talk about that. We are going to talk about that because, obviously, this is I call it CDS, COVID derangement syndrome. It seems to be a serious issue right now. I'm not sure what it's all about, but of course, among other things that there are to talk about, and of course, the COVID thing is still a thing, and as long as it's a thing, I'm going to keep talking about the thing. Interesting developments in some of the fight against the COVID vaccine mandate. And the most important thing is what's in my cup. This morning it's kind of different. I have a cup full of small cup full of apple cider. It's that time of year. Actually, apple cider is available all year. It used to be that apple cider was only available in the fall because apple orchards would find a way. They found a way to take their old apples that didn't sell or that were on the tree too long or that fell to the ground, and they would squash them up, get the juice out of them, and then they would sometimes they didn't pasteurize it, kind of depending on what kind of situation they were in. And they would usually pasteurize it to some degree and then sell it as apple cider, apple juice, kind of apple cider stuff. And originally, apple cider was a little bit more, potent. But the apple cider that we have today is much more homogenized and pasteurized. So now they make apple cider all year long. You can find apple cider in the store all year. It used to be just in the fall. But at least where I'm from, anyway, that's where we used to get it. So I have a cup full of apple cider here. It came from the heartland, Indiana. It's real apple cider. The other thing I have some of these donut holes that I ate this morning. So this morning I had two eggs, so a glass of milk, and I had with my milk I had rise and roll donut holes. For those of you who aren't familiar, you might be able to order these online. I'm not sure if you can get them or not, but they're worth looking at. They call it in our area. They call it the Amish crack. Rise and roll is a. I think it was kind of an Amish bakery type place. It was I don't know if it was an Amish place or if it was just former Amish or conservative Mennonites. I'm not sure what they are, but they see because you got your Amish, you got your conservative Mennonites, you got your Mennonites. You've got your beachy Amish, black bumper Amish. You got your what do they call it? There's another group out there. The Dunkards, and you got your Dunkard brethren. It's all of them kind of, you know, they have that a little bit different flavor to their, you know, practices and their beliefs, but. Yeah, so you get all that stuff growing around my area. And this place called Rise and Roll, they have these donut holes they put brown powdered sugar on them. And they just kind of melt in your mouth. When they're fresh, they melt in your mouth. It's amazing. They're dangerous because you can't just eat one. You eat one, it's like, well, it just disappeared. I got to eat another one. So you eat another one and it disappears as well. Next thing you know, you've eaten half a pound of them. They all disappeared and you're 30 pounds heavier. I don't know how it works. It's amazing. It's like an amazing thing. So that's what I have. I had this morning and now I'm washing it all down with some apple cider. I'll probably have some nuts later. There you go. That's my day, pretty much. At least part of it. So, so Mr. Biden, the former vice president, I'll call him by his official name. He he had a little town hall recently. And Anderson Cooper, of course, was the hard-hitting interviewer. He was basically his keeper during this event. Made sure he didn't get off too far in the weeds. Joe acted a little bit strange during parts of this thing. Now, I have no doubt that they knew what the questions were that were going to be asked. I have no doubt about that. It gets back to this whole thing of political theater. Again, political theater is the way they operate. And just as an example, the other day, I was going to have this audio for you, but I didn't have a chance to get it. When they stop doing the theater, they have no idea what to say. They stumble around, don't know what to say. The other day, Jerry Nadler was overseeing the Senate hearings for somebody. I don't know who it was. It might have been Garland, the evil one. And it's interesting, you know, I've been saying that Merrick Garland, I'm telling you, when I heard this guy speak, I'm like, this guy, and not just the way he speaks, it's not his voice. It's the way he speaks. It's the way he uses words, the way he answers questions. I can tell that this guy is extremely deceptive. He has an agenda. He has a vendetta as well underlying the whole thing. He's mad about the fact that he did not get on the Supreme Court. This guy had no business being on the Supreme Court. This guy has no business being Attorney General. And I'm telling you, he's acting like a de facto Supreme Court enforcer on his own. My understanding is that, you know, the other day when the school board apparently sent the Attorney General a letter about their concerns. I guess it was the Attorney General that sent the letter. I don't know if it was the school board. I don't know if the school board sent the letter to someone else and that person passed it on to me. I don't know how it got to Merrick Garland. I'm not sure if it went directly there or if it was the state Attorney General. I don't know what happened there. Somehow it got to Mark, the evil one. So they did this. And when he was being asked by Jim Jordan, you know, what statistic, what you know, what prompted you, what event prompted you to launch an investigation, to direct the FBI to launch an investigation to these parents who are asking questions and having issues with their school board? He said, well, I read the letter. Well, the school board now has retracted the letter, and they are regretting that they ever sent the letter because of the fuss that it caused. They realize now they were not expecting the letter to be overly exaggerated and used in this manner. And they're very upset about that, I guess. They're retracting that. They realize that they went too far, basically is what it amounts to. And it wasn't necessarily them that went too far. It was Merrick Garland using this as an excuse to make examples of these parents, calling them domestic terrorists, launching the Patriot Act on these people. Now, if you understand what these parents are upset about, they're fully well within their rights to be upset with what's going on with the school board, with the school system. One fellow who was arrested, I guarantee you, they wouldn't have arrested me. If I'd have been in his position, in his situation, at finding out what I've found out about the whole situation now, if it would have been my daughter, nobody touches me. If an officer was going to arrest me for yelling at them, Yeah, I'm sitting here talking tough right now. I guess I need to settle down. All I can say is, I probably would be, you'd be probably having my funeral right now. I would have been absolutely off the wall, livid, uncontrollably livid about it. And I would either be, well, I fully understand the guy's passion and rage over what happened there. So, and now we find out more that the school board knew about it the day after it happened. They were claiming they didn't know about it at all. They absolutely did. So, again, political theater. So the other day, Jerry Nadler was in the, they were, had an oversight committee of some kind, and Jim Jordan wanted to show a video. And there is a, not a rule, but there is a, it's the kind of a, it's not a precedent, it's a, it's just a procedural system where they, the reason, and Nadler even read the reason that they have this procedure where you have to submit your video 48 hours. If you want to play a video, you have to submit it 48 hours prior to the meeting, the hearing. Well, the reason for that is because it used to be, back when this rule was made, this was not a rule, but this was a president, was never voted on by the Senate. When the rule was made, or is it the House? I guess it's, I keep wanting to say the Senate. For some reason, it's Congress. I guess Congressman. It's a Congress, Congressional Committee. And they wanted to play this video of the fellow, I believe it was, might have been the fellow who was, I can't remember what the video was. I know they did play the video, one of the videos they played was the video of course, now the reason they want it 48 hours ahead of time isn't because of they need time to set it up and get the video prepared. That was the whole reason for it. And it originally, it even, and Nadler even said that, and he read, when he read the procedure. The reason for it was because they needed, you know, they needed the tech team to be able to be there and make sure that they needed the video set up so they wouldn't waste any time. So that way you had your tech team put the thing together, you had the video camera there, you had whatever kind of format it was in, the ability to project it, whatever you needed to have, television camera or a TV TV monitor, whatever you had to have to make the thing work. So that was what the whole submission thing was for, so they had time to get that done. Well, they had the video there. Nowadays, you can literally carry a projector in your pocket and you can play a video from a phone. So it's a very different world we live in. They can play videos anytime you want. Well, they wanted to have this. The problem is that when you submit this stuff 48 hours early, now the other side knows what's going to be played and they can have the narrative all set up. So this, in this case, they didn't know it, so they had another narrative set up. They knew the video was coming, don't get me wrong. They knew the video was coming. And so they didn't have any time to really set up for it. So what they did was they objected to it. Someone stood up and objected to it. And this objection was accepted and by Nadler, and they basically stopped Jordan from playing the video. And, of course, the argument, and of course, there were people objecting because it was not a rule. And yet they were considering it to be the rules. They kept saying, this is the rules, these are the rules, these aren't the rules. They never voted on those rules. But this whole thing, when you look at it, you can tell that they're reading from a script. The person who objected basically looked like they were reading from a 3x5 card. And then Nadler's whole response was, he went into an explanation, and it was basically a written explanation. He was reading it from something. Very obvious. Because again, this is just, it's all theater. And these people have no ability to just operate without the teleprompter or the cue cards. So I'm pretty sure that this whole town, what is it, town, whatever, town hall meeting that he had with Anderson there, I'm sure that none of that was scripted. I'm sure he knew nothing about the questions. You can almost tell as the questions are being asked, Joe is deep focusing on the answer that the response he's supposed to get. It's almost as if he's listening to somebody telling what the response is. Because he zones out, like as if he's listening to something. If you watch how his body movements are. In fact, his whole body went stiff at one point. His hands were clenched in fists, and he was just kind of standing there like he was trying to hear exactly what it was he was supposed to say. Being told what to say. I would not be surprised at all. I don't think the guy has much of a... he probably wears an earpiece all the time, has somebody, you know, Brock probably, or Valerie Jarrett. Somebody's been in the background telling him what to say. The sad part of this is, and this is the narrative that we continue to get, and this is, I'm going to fight back against this thing because it is absolutely false, phony, and dangerous. This idea that the unvaxxed are the ones who are going to kill everyone because they're the ones with COVID. If you're unvaxxed, you have COVID. And you're going to kill us all. This is a pandemic of the unvaccinated. For those who, we know by now, hopefully you understand by now, that science has nothing to do with any of their responses, any of their narratives. They're not governed by science. They don't make any decisions. They don't make any statements based on science. Science is just whatever they want to call it. Science is their narrative. That's what it is. They have no understanding of any kind of studies, documents, research. It's all conjecture and whatever the narrative is that fits. Here's how this has played out. And unfortunately, the narrative has continued to be pushed in a way that, in my opinion, has become extremely dangerous to certain people in our community, in our society. Here's what happened. Initially, we thought, okay, there's a vaccine. Now, when everyone heard the word vaccine, and I am one of them, I thought, okay, the vaccine is going to immunize us from COVID. Now, we all know that, of course, I believe it was Moderna and Pfizer and whoever it also was, they were all saying that their vaccines were showing that they were 90% or something over, I think some of them were over 90% effective. I think the Johnson & Johnson had the lowest, it was in the 80s somewhere, against COVID, which means you're going to have, 10% or so breakthrough cases. That has turned out to be extremely incorrect. I don't know if they were not testing people or if they just were not understanding that. I don't know what they were doing. Because the breakthrough cases now have been in the 40 to 50% range of the vaccinated. In other words, of the people who get COVID, who are tested at least for COVID, 40% of them now have had the vaccine. The problem is that we're running into is that there's no control study right now. So it could be even higher. Among the only studies that have been done among those who are regularly tested, it's in the 40% range. The problem with the general society is that of the breakthrough cases, many people don't have symptoms. They're asymptomatic, which is great. It means it's nullified. The problem here, this is where we get into all the speculation and conjecture and everyone not knowing. And this is what we don't know. This is why we're being experimented on. It's why everybody feels like they're being a living, walking experiment. Because I'm hearing people say, I've even heard some doctors say, I think it was actually, it might have been Dr. Oz. So there's just a lot of doctors out there that are all the popular ones. They're getting paid, of course, to say this stuff. But they're saying, I think one doctor was on Dr. Oz, who actually was interviewing somebody. The guy was giving all this report on everything. one of the things that he said was that, now if you've had the two, he said, well, we're really sending mixed signals because now that everybody's had the second, you know, the second dose, or not everybody, but he said the people who've had the second dose now, they're also doing the booster because the antibodies are waning. Now, Dr. Oz had this little graphic where he showed natural immunity. It has really good effectiveness. The next picture he had someone who had the vaccines, who'd been doubly vaccinated, who'd been fully vaccinated, as they call it, both shots, and they showed them with having like 10 times more resistance to COVID. And they have these antibodies now. Then they showed somebody who had COVID and then got the vaccine, and they had like 1,000 times or 100 times more resistance than the person who just got COVID, and like 10 times more than the person who got who had just had the vaccine. This whole thing was false. He didn't cite any studies because the studies do not pan out with what he was saying. Any peer-reviewed study that's out there, which is only about 2 that I know of right now that are peer-reviewed, would show the opposite of this. So he went from this guy, he went from him showing this graphic to this other guy talking, and talking about the booster and why it's sending a mixed message because people are believing that the vaccine is waning in its effectiveness. Problem is, the vaccine is waning in its effectiveness. In fact, it's now they're questioning how effective it was at the very beginning, from the get-go, because we're finding that breakthrough cases are much more predominant, much more prevalent than originally expected. Look at the example after example. You had this one group of people, these politicians from Texas, who decided to leave the state so they could keep the voting bill from being voted on. Or maybe it was the abortion bill. It was one of them. It was either the voting bill or the heartbeat bill. And so they all took off on a jet, and they showed them on the jet. They were flying along. They're going to D.C., taking a field trip. I think there were 17 of them. Maybe 17 or 18 of them. I don't know. It was a bunch of them. They all took off on this jet, went to D.C. And of course, then they got there and they ran out of money, and they decided that they needed some donations to get back or whatever. I don't know what was going on with all that. So they were hiding out in D.C., taking a tour. Of course, they showed them on the plane without masks on, all that stuff, because they're hypocrites. And it's the mask wouldn't have helped anyway. It would have been funnier, I think, if they would have all been wearing masks and they still got, you know, the breakthrough. Initially, came to find out about a week later, 12 of them had COVID. All fully vaccinated, supposedly. 12 of them got it, then found out another one had it. As last I heard, 13 of them had it. There may have been more, but that's all we know of. So a little over half of them ended up with COVID from that trip, fully vaccinated. Now their symptoms, nobody died. I don't know that anyone was hospitalized. I think everybody was fine. Which, you know, is a testament to the vaccine. That's fine. But that's not what we expected from this vaccine when it came out. Everyone was under the impression, and still apparently is pushing the narrative, that the vaccine will keep you from getting it. And it does not. Which means you can spread it. And yes, I played the audio of Dr. Fauci saying that the viral load in the nasal thorax of a person who has been vaccinated is just as high, basically identical in terms of their viral load in their nasal thorax, as someone who's been unvaccinated. In other words, they can spread it and you don't know that they got it because there's no symptoms. And we're not regularly testing anybody who's been vaccinated because they have this vaccination card. Now they're the ones who are free to spread the COVID to kill you. And yet it's Joe Biden who comes out and makes a statement about freedom. Let me play this again. Now, hopefully you can hear this okay, because I'm just playing it from my phone. I am in Atlanta, and I'm doing this from a hotel on my laptop. So let's see if you can hear this okay.
Are those who just try to make this a political issue. Freedom. I have the freedom to kill you with my shoulder.
So he says, you know, it's about freedom. I have the freedom to kill you with my COVID. That's a glib statement that has extremely far-reaching ramifications. This idea that if I'm not vaccinated, I'm going to kill you with COVID. The unvaccinated are the ones that are killing everybody with COVID. Not necessarily. They might be at a higher risk of going to the hospital if you haven't been vaccinated. And this gets at the crux of what I think, as time goes by, people are more and more leery of this thing. We are finding out more and more, especially this weird push to vaccinate young kids. Not to the age of 5, they want to vaccinate everyone down to the age of 6 months. What is going on with this? Studies, real studies, have shown there is more, statistically, this has been read to doctors. I gave you the example the other day of Sanjay Gupta being on the Joe Rogan show, and Joe was reading off this report from a research article that was well-founded. Study that they did a research study on boys ages 12 to 15. I think it was at a particular school. And they discovered that there was 27 times more likely to have an issue with the vaccine that required hospitalization than they were if they got COVID. And he was trying to jerk the numbers around. Sanjay was saying, oh, that means this, it means that. No, and it was very specific in the article. It was much more dangerous for boys ages 12 to 15 to get the vaccine than it was to get COVID. And yet he refused to hear it. And in fact, he was, well, I don't know. He kind of stammered around like he hadn't heard that study. Well, of course, if he hadn't heard it, then he wasn't going to go along with it. And yet it was a very prominent organization that did the study. But there's this denial thing that happens with all that. I was looking for an opportunity to say that today. This is the kind of thing that we need to be very careful of. And ask yourself, why is there such adamant push for this thing? And so much hysteria over the idea that we have to vaccinate everyone, and then we have to give them the booster. Now, the question I think that Dr. Oz was asking this guy initially was, I would assume that because we have to have one booster, it's going to wane again, and we're going to have another booster. Boosters aren't going to stop. And of course, the big pharma companies are just making out like bandits on this thing. 300 million people, 20 bucks a pop, two times, 600 million people times 20, plus all the other money that's involved. This is, it's just outrageous. But that's just in this country. That's not including worldwide. So. It's really, there's an interesting study. I just saw this report yesterday. South Africa now is trying to reverse engineer the vaccine. I believe it's the Pfizer. Trying to reverse engineer it because they want to create it on their own. That way they can save money. They can't afford to buy millions of vials of this thing because it's too expensive. Their economy can't support it, so they're going to try to reverse engineer it and make it themselves. Now, it will be very interesting if they are able to determine what's in this thing, what the mixture is, and reverse engineer it I think maybe somebody's going to find out something there that they're not supposed to find out. I would be surprised if that lab explodes. Or for some reason they can't. All of a sudden the vaccine just becomes free for them. It's an interesting study. Also, a doctor that's been doing some reverse engineering, looking at, through microscopic examination of what's in the virus, in the vaccine, I'm sorry, and discovering some very alarming things. And this person is an internal medicine specialist. The allegation is that there's some very dangerous living matter in this thing. Potentially what they call microbots, which is just small organisms, microorganisms that have been genetically or I guess synthetically created. And they're concerned about these things, mostly because they're not sure how other things interreact with them. Contraindicated, as they call it, could be contraindicated with something else. Well, it's interesting how that kind of information is very much squelched. There's also another fellow who's been doing a lot of study on Australia in terms of the numbers. He's got charts and graphs, and he keeps track of all the numbers, vaccinated, unvaccinated, cases, different studies in different areas, hospitalizations, that kind of thing. They are noticing a trend. He's noticing a trend that's concerning him now. One is the numbers of vaccinated hospitalizations is going up. Now, this happens all the time. Among the unvaccinated, you will get outbreaks in areas where it spikes, goes up like crazy, and just climbs up, and then all of a sudden it drops off all at once. It has a very high burnout factor. It's very deadly and bad very quickly, and it drops off almost as quickly as it will, actually sometimes quicker. It drops off from, the hospitalizations drop almost quicker than they did initially ramp up. So the question now, and this is getting back to the crux of the issue with the vaccine. Is it really giving you any kind of natural immunity? If you take the vaccine and you're exposed to COVID, or you get COVID, are you giving your body the opportunity to create actual antibodies? Why would there have to be a booster involved if it was? I don't have to take a polio booster. I don't have to take any other vaccines that we take as kids. Chickenpox, all the stuff. We don't take boosters for that. Tetanus, maybe, but that's very different. That's a very different thing. So the questions, and I think that's the longer this goes on, the more we see what's happening to people who are taking it. And then there's this issue of aspiration for the needle as they're giving you the shot. Should it be, should it happen to go into a blood vessel, there's a very much higher chance that you're going to get a heart issue, clotting issue. Whereas if it just goes into a muscle, you're better off, and that's why they try to aspirate the shot, which I believe is where they stick the needle in, you pull back to make sure that you're not in a blood vessel, and then you go ahead and inject the shot at that point. I think that's what aspiration is. I'm not a doctor. I don't know. I've never given a shot in my life. I've gotten them. That's the way I understand it. And I don't know that aspiration is done anymore. I know that sometimes they do, sometimes they don't, because there's more of a chance of an embolism if you accidentally do something wrong with the aspiration. So that's why it's not practiced in some places anymore. Some places do. You'd have to check with your local physician, whatever, to find out if that's what they're doing. But we're living in a... Now, here's what I wanted to get to. So the crux of the issue about the vaccine right now for me is it really giving you immunity, or is the immunity that your body would have is it actually decreasing your body's ability to create immunity on its own? I guess that's where my big question is. Because I don't know. So, along with that, is the issue of the mandate. They're doing this whole thing with the religious exemption, and I've looked into this more and more. I'm trying to figure out which way to go with this. And to me, it seems like a civil rights issue. Well, yesterday, I just happened to come across an issue where someone was explaining something within the civil rights law, civil rights amendment. And I think it was on Facts Matter, I think, with Roman from the Epic Times, talking about one of the things that's in the Civil Rights Act is the whole thing of government they can't decide for you whether or not you're sincere in your beliefs or not. That's not for them to decide that. If you say you have a moral or religious conviction about something, they cannot decide, well, it's either valid or invalid. They are not in a position to judge that. The Civil Rights Act is very clear that you as an individual have to make accommodation for you. This can be seen in a lot of employment situations where Muslims have to have a place to pray. They have to have a prayer room or a place to have time to pray during the day whenever they're called to prayer. So this is the kind of thing that I think we need to fight on that basis. When we are, when we're forced to bow down and, well, I have to submit my little religious exemption form to you and I have to tell you all about my faith and what I believe and all the... Who are they to judge my theology or judge my sincerity? We have to have witnesses. People have to tell me. We have to have five people tell you that, I've known this person for 20 years and this has been their conviction since they were 10. That's not the way it works. I may have gotten this conviction yesterday. What if you just got saved yesterday? Anyway, so God bless everybody. Have a great week. It's Monday, October 25th. This is the news according to me. Thanks for listening, everybody. God bless.